services all week for people to join us and to worship. So let me just remind you of that. Share that. Let people know. If you can't join us online on Sunday, we have other options for you during the week at 7 o'clock every Sunday night. So I hope that you'll take advantage of that and it continue to encourage you and to be a ministry to you as we try to advance the gospel in greater ways. So thankful for you joining us and for those that are here this morning. Just a minute, we're going to go back to Colossians chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles and you want to turn there, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9 and verse 10, we'll look at that and kind of finish up there, verse 10, and talking about walking worthy of the gospel and what that looks like. Before we get there, though, let me share just a couple things with you. I said to you when we started to regather, I said to you that as elders and staff, we will continue to monitor kind of the how things are progressing, and as numbers rise, which they have this last week or so, that we'll keep an eye on that, and certainly in touch with our local and state, federal officials to make sure as we're continuing on, and the CDC, that we're doing that safely. And so this past Thursday night, we met together as staff and elders and kind of talked about the recent uptick in the numbers, which everyone, I'm sure, is aware of. And we prayed leading into that meeting what the Lord would have us do as we progress forward. And so we came out of that with this unity in terms of continuing forward with our in-person worship, but also with our online ministry. We certainly know we're reaching a lot of people with our online ministry. That's an extremely important ministry, and we want to continue doing that and also provide in-person worship. Now, that being said, that meeting we had was prior to the ordinance that Denton passed recently in the last couple of days. So we didn't have that information when we gathered as an elder body and a staff. And so, in light of that, we're going to be talking today and tomorrow about what it looks like as we move forward. Specifically, I know one of the things that a lot of people ask and wonder about is the masks. Do we wear masks? Do we not wear masks? Are we required to wear masks? Are we not required to wear masks? A lot of different ideas about that. I certainly understand that. And some of the information right now, I just think I haven't myself, because it is recent, I haven't gotten my hands around all the details of that and what that looks like and what applies to us here in the city as a church, what doesn't apply to us. There's a lot of different ideas and thoughts out there. And so to get some clarity, we're going to come together as a staff and elders. We're going to gather more information. And then once we are able to, which hopefully will be tomorrow, maybe Tuesday, I'll come to you with kind of an update as we are progressing forward in this season. Just an update, a touching base, and within that we'll have some more specific details as we go forward. Okay, so let me just encourage you, though, as I did in the other services and those of you watching online. We always want to make, this is a great opportunity. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, which I'm talking about here this morning, especially verse 10, this is walking worthy of the gospel. That's what Paul is praying for these Colossians. Such a perfect time, perfect prayer for us too, because we have a lot of great opportunities to walk worthy of the gospel in some very difficult times. And so it's a great opportunity for us as believers, as Christians, to walk worthy of the gospel. And verse 10, as we see, fully pleasing to God. So, in doing so, we want to make sure that as believers, as Christians, that we are always responding in a way that's worthy of the gospel and fully pleasing to God. And we want to be careful that we don't let issues divide us. And as I said in the other two services, and I want to remind you all and online people, is we have to remember that we can, it is possible, we can agree to disagree with people and still love one another. We can do that. And as Christians, that's what we're called to do. That even if someone has a different opinion on whatever the issue is right now, that we can agree to disagree and still love one another. So don't let these things divide us, divide you, family, friends, just whatever it may be, church. We want to come together and we remember that what Satan is using, trying to use for bad, God will use for good. And so we want to remember that as we press forward, bearing with one another in patience, Ephesians 4, and in love. Okay? And we'll come to you, I'll come to you in the next couple of days with a bit of an update. Doesn't keep us from worshiping in person, online. We continue to worship, we continue to teach, we continue to sing. We're going to continue worshiping together. So today, Colossians chapter 1, as I mentioned, I want to read, I'm just going to start reading in verse 9, which kind of picks this prayer back up again. And then I want to just share some takeaways with you that I hope can encourage you this morning. Verse 9, and so, he says, and so from the day we heard, we've not stopped praying for you. We've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And here's why now. This is what we're going to key in on today. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. Okay, we can pause right there for just a minute and say we need to be more concerned about pleasing God than we are about pleasing man. Right now, I'm not saying you just have this attitude like, I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm not saying that at all either. But if we're not careful, sometimes we are driven by what everybody else thinks. We try to please everybody else more than we do pleasing God. And so he says right here, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. Talking about to God. Now, here's two ways you do that. That's what's next, okay? Bearing fruit in every good work, right? Every good work. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, I want you to remember that when Paul wrote this, and as he's praying for these Colossians, that they were already doing well. They were doing good. You remember he said to them, man, I'm hearing that about your faith and about your love and about your hope. They were doing well in the gospel. But yet now he prays for more knowledge and for more fruit. So takeaway number one, thinking along those lines, increasing in the knowledge of God. So takeaway number one is this. What is your next step? What is your next step spiritually? I think we all have a next step. I do. I know I do. And you do. And that's when he says, increasing in the knowledge of God. As I said a couple weeks ago, we shouldn't ever get to a place where we just kind of settle. And we go, spiritually, this is enough. I'm doing enough. No, he's praying that they would increase in the knowledge of God. Because as they increased in the knowledge of God, they would walk worthy of the gospel and bear even more fruit. But it started with increasing in the knowledge of God. So he wants more. So what is your next step spiritually? What is my next step? Now for some, it can be a number of different things, and however the Lord speaks to you about that. But just some ideas when we think about the next step spiritually. For some, it might be saying, you know, for me, it's going to be deciding to be involved in worship every single week, whether it's in person or online. Do it online. You say, I'm going to make that commitment to be involved in worship every single week, to have my family. I want to pray that my family be involved, that every single week we're committed on Sundays to worshiping God. Maybe that's the next step for you. For some, it might be tithing. Maybe for some of you, that's my next step of faith to grow. And as you are increasing in the knowledge of God, and you study the scriptures about tithing, increasing the knowledge, your next step maybe is tithing. For some, it might be serving. I know it looks different right now around here in terms of that, but at some point we'll get back to that place. We're opportunities to serve, preschool children, youth, adults, teaching. Maybe that's your next step. For some, it might just be having time with God every single day. Maybe that's your next step. The devotional time or quiet time, some people call it. Maybe you did that in the past, but you've gotten busy and you've kind of gotten away from that. So now your next step kind of back is to commit once again to say, I'm going to have this time with God every single day. 5-10 minutes to start. I'm going to start my day every single day. Maybe that is your next step. One of the most powerful, practical, personal things you can do is Every single day is to spend time. Spend time with God. Every single day. It's powerful. Maybe that's your next step. It can be a number of different things. But remember, here's, and I want you to take note of this before I move on to the next takeaway. Paul's looking around and he's seeing the Colossians and they're doing good. He's saying that, man, you're doing good in the gospel. But what does he do? He prays for more knowledge, more fruit, bearing fruit in every single way. Galatians 6:9, do not lose heart in doing good, for in due time you... Don't lose heart. Keep doing good. Keep doing what you're doing. And so it kind of shows me, reminds me, tells me that certainly we have a ministry here at Grace Point Church for me as a pastor and our other staff is to minister to people in time of need. There's no question about that. Time of struggle. That's what we're called to do. No question about that. But you know what I see here also is Paul is showing us there's also a ministry to those who are doing well. Those who are bearing the fruit of the gospel, that we have a ministry to come alongside and encourage them to keep moving forward. And I'm praying more for you. God wants more for you. God wants more for us. And so when you see those people, you encourage them. Pray for them. Your kids, as you see them doing well in the Lord and growing, then pray for more for them. Pray for more for them. Encourage them as they're doing well. One writer says it this way, that Paul felt encouraged by what he saw in the Colossian believers to pray to God to enrich them yet farther. It should be our desire that our best brethren should be better. And that those who are most like Jesus should be still more completely conformed into the image of Jesus. We cannot more wisely show our love to our friends than by first acknowledging the grace which is in them, and then by praying that God give them more. Remember, this is a prayer. He's praying for them. A prayer, as we'll get to in just a minute, that we pray for our family, for our friends, for ourselves. So we need our eyes. This increasing in the knowledge part primarily happens through the Word of God. It can happen through other ways, praying, worshiping, serving, no question. But primarily today I want to talk to you about the importance of increasing the knowledge of God. Now understand, look, it's not just for you to know more about God. It's not for you to leave here and go, well, I got a lot of information. That's good. But the practical side of it, and that's what he talks about when he says, walk in a way that's worthy of the gospel. That's the practical. The knowledge to the practical. So what you learn today, and anytime you're under teaching, is that you embrace that and take that so you can then walk well, worthy of the gospel, fully pleasing to him. So I think a huge step is that we need our eyes on God and in his word. Which leads me to takeaway number two. Takeaway number two is this. What you feed your eyes will eventually rule your heart. What you feed your eyes will eventually rule your heart. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 6. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? What you feed your eyes will eventually rule your heart. So it begs the question, you know, what are you feeding your eyes? Where are your eyes? What are the things you're looking at? So our eyes will be drawn to what our hearts desire. Our eyes will be drawn to what our hearts desire. They influence and sometimes can drive our hearts. So therefore, if we feed them, which you feed your eyes will eventually rule your heart. If we feed them what is true and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Our eyes then grow, our heart grows in our eyes. In faith, it heightens our love, it intensifies our purpose and our passion for Christ. But where the eyes wander, the heart quickly follows. One more time, for all of us, me included. Where the eyes wander, the heart quickly follows. How many of us leave our eyes on too long of a leash, so to speak? What are you feeding your eyes? Such influence that we forget about. When Moses warned Israel about idolatry, idol worship, talked about their eyes. Deuteronomy 4, let me read this to you. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 15 says, therefore, watch yourselves very carefully. Watch yourselves very carefully, he tells them. Since you saw no form on the day that the Lord spoke to you at Horeb, out of the midst of the fire, okay, again, remember, out of worship, beware lest you act corruptly by making a carved image for yourselves in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, all these things you can see, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water under the earth. Verse 19, and beware. Okay, so again, watch yourselves very carefully. Now verse 19, and beware lest you raise your eyes to heaven, and when you see, there's your eyes again, the sun and the moon and the stars, all the hosts of heaven, you be drawn away and bow down to them. So they would, people would worship them, these false gods. All the hosts of heaven, you be drawn away and bow down to them and serve them. Things that the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven. So he's talking about idol worship, and he addresses their eyes. The importance of their eyes. Why? Because what you feed your eyes will eventually rule your heart. The eye is the lamp of the body, he said, to God's people, is what he's saying. Just as Jesus is saying to us, and if you allow yours, your eyes, to chase after the things that you have made or even the wonders of God, then your eyes will lead your heart astray and eventually can destroy us if we're not careful. Now, when he says the eye is the lamp of the body, Matthew 6, he's in the middle of a verse about treasure. Three verses earlier, he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. And then two verses later, he says, no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. So that leads me to takeaway number three. Your eyes, talking about treasure, your eyes will always be drawn to what you treasure. Your eyes are drawn to what you treasure. Matthew 6, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then right in there, he talks, the eye is the lamp of the body. Therefore, we conclude your eyes will always be drawn to what you treasure. They play a role, a great role, in what we treasure. So if our eyes are not healthy, it will inevitably cause us to have heart trouble, you see. So I took this quote from a guy, kind of spoke right to me, maybe to you too today, talking about this importance of treasures in our eyes and what we're treasuring. Here's what he says. He says, if we have little appetite for Christ and a huge craving for sports, our treasure is free of charge at ESPN. If Christ cannot keep our attention, but we hunt and shop for hours on Amazon, our treasure will arrive in two business days or less. If we lack ambition to know Christ and carry out his mission, but we work hard to advance our career and build our retirement fund, we will finally receive our treasure as our time on earth expires. If time with Christ is the first thing that we surrender when we're busy, but we never miss a meal or our favorite television show, we have treasure, but it's not Him. And if it's not Him, every other good eventually goes dark. Your eyes will always be drawn to what you treasure. So then, that's the case. Then what must we do to see well? What must we do to see well? What is our part in that? And there's three things on your outline there. Number one, here's the first thing. We must guard your eyes. Guard. Now that two things I think of here. One is what you're allowing in, okay? So we're reestablishing the importance of our eyes. Because I think we forget about that and we do wander. Sometimes I don't think we realize the impact, right? So we must guard our eyes. Guard your eyes and what you allow in, what you're watching, what you're seeing. And if you want to make sure there's room for God, I say let Him in. You know, I think it's wise to let Him in first. Right, it's first part of the day. So before you are exposed to anything else you see, you make a decision. I'm gonna let God in first. You and I both know right now. Man, before I turn on the TV to see the news or everything that's happening, I think you have to watch the news. I get that. I don't think you need to watch a lot of it. I used to, and I don't anymore because my eyes, right? My eyes, and I thought where it was leading me. But before you do all that, and exposed to all this other stuff in the world, right? Guard your eyes by first using our to seek God in His Word. Start there. That's one way that you guard your eyes, is by starting with God and seeing Him well the first part of the day, if you will. Number two, here's the second thing. I think to see well, we must compare, right, for all of us, compare your prayer life with your screen life. Compare your prayer life with your screen life. Humbles all of us. Me too. All of us. Me too. When we set the time we spend on our phones or in front of televisions next to the time that we spend on our knees, what do we learn about our eyes and our hearts? Now, it doesn't mean you shouldn't watch ESPN. Doesn't mean you shouldn't shop from Amazon. Doesn't mean you shouldn't be on your phone. Doesn't mean you shouldn't watch TV. I'm not saying that. But we're looking at that compared to my treasure in Christ that I say is my treasure. Where do we run for rest and pleasure first? Number three, don't train your eyes to overlook ungodliness. Don't compromise. Godliness requires discipline and vigilance in what we watch, what we allow in through our eyes, what we choose to focus on, to dwell on, to see. And so we must be disciplined in a society that is aggressively marketing everything else, so many things not of God, that we must train our eyes not to overlook ungodliness. Be careful, parents, too. I remember when my mom was younger, especially. You know, sometimes you're just tired of fighting over certain TV shows or certain things, and you just kind of give in. Well, it's not that bad. We just got to be careful about that. That's a slippery slope. Be careful about that. Be wise. Takeaway number four, last one is this. What is it you're praying for? What are you praying for? You need to be praying. Paul sets the example for us, kind of sets the pace, says, hey, here's what you need to be praying for. And he, there in verse 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, this fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Remember, that's a prayer he's praying for the Colossians, that this would be happening in their life. What is it you're praying for? It's typically, I know for me, and this is not wrong, I don't believe, for you or me to do it, is we pray for things like for physical health. It's not wrong to do that. It's okay to do that. We pray for well-being. We pray for relationships. We pray for jobs, all that stuff. Okay, that's good. Take that all to the Lord. That's important. But there has to be some time in there that our prayers are spiritual. spiritual nature. In other words, we're praying for the spiritual growth and the spiritual well-being of my daughter, of my boys, of my wife, for myself. Now I'm fighting for that. And that their eyes would see well. I'm praying. And that they would desire more the knowledge of God, because I know it would help them walk worthy of the gospel, be fully pleasing to God, fulfill their Isaiah 43 purpose to give them such great peace and joy this side of heaven. So we pray for that. What is it that you're praying for yourself, for your children, for your husband, for your wife? Let me finish with this guy, David Livingston, man. He was a missionary in Africa. This brother, he could see well. He was seen well. He's a good example for us. March 19th, 1983 is when he was born. Gave his life to serve Christ in the exploration of Africa for the sake of creating access to the gospel. Now, December 4th, 1857, he addressed the students of Cambridge University about, as he called it, quote, leaving the benefits of England behind. You left so much behind. So much comfort, so much blessing, so much goodness was the thing they were asking him about. And so he addressed that. In that context, he said this: for my own part, I have never ceased to rejoice that God has appointed me to such an office. People talk of the sacrifice I've made in spending so much of my life in Africa, he says. Is that a sacrifice which brings its own blessed reward and healthy activity, the consciousness of doing good, the peace of mind, and a bright hope of a glorious destiny hereafter? Away with the word and such a view, he says, and with such a thought. It is emphatically no sacrifice, he says. Rather, it is a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, danger now and then with a foregoing of the common conveniences and charities of this life may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and the soul to sink. But let this only be, he says, for a moment. All these are nothing when compared with the glory which shall be revealed in and for us one day. He says, I never made a sacrifice. David Livingston, he could see well. Most people, anxiety, sickness, suffering, danger, most people would say those are huge sacrifices. But he said nothing compares to the glory that will one day be revealed in us and to us. He could see well, and because he could see well, he was able to walk worthy of the gospel. Let's pray together. You pray with me? I want to finish where I started this morning. In Psalm 23. So just, if you're joining us online, maybe just where you're at right there. I want to just read this over you. Here in the worship center, we're just bowing our heads, closing our eyes. I want to just read this scripture. Help us to see well, to see the Lord is my shepherd. Can you see that? To see well. We're gaining knowledge. We're growing in the knowledge of God. We're seeing him well and better. Helps us walk right. So, just for a moment, as we finish today, as I read this, may you see well, may you see him. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you help us to see better, to see well. May we treasure you above all things. And as we see better through gaining the knowledge, may we walk worthy to please you. That, I pray, is what we treasure most. Thank you for your provision, for Psalm 23 promise, and for your presence today, right here in this place, God. We believe you are among us, you are with us. And as we leave this place, your presence covers us and is more than enough, and we are thankful. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for joining us, Grace Point Church Online. I hope you have a great week, and then I hope you'll be back here next Sunday morning, 8, 10, 12 o'clock. We're praying for you, and we'll see you next Sunday. Thank you so much for being here. I know it's a much smaller crowd, obviously. We have